The reading today is from 1 Peter 4:12 to 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good.
And so this morning we're going to be thinking about a life of trials. I wonder what kind of trials that you have been going through recently. I'm really interested to read about the 50 first world problems that we suffer in the UK. And rather than read all 50, I think I'm just going to read a few that maybe you get frustrated with, things that happen to you and you go, ah. So how about having a runny nose? What about calls from unknown numbers? Or having the card that's through the letterbox, we missed you when you actually were at home? How about having no Wi-Fi? For those under 20, that is just a terrible thing to happen to them. What about the sellotape? When you can't find the end of the sellotape, or if the cling film gets all screwed up, and you spend hours just tugging it and it gets all split. What about when you dunk your biscuit and half of it disappears in your cup? What about running out of hot water when you're running a bath because someone else has used it all up? Or even leaving your phone charger at home? There were a couple for the ladies. How about having chipped nail polish? You see, these things are a bit of trials, aren't they? You know, they just make us go, ah. But the truth is that they are so minor in the whole scheme of life. And it's really good to see so many people this morning. There's quite a few people on holiday, but there's still a good number of us. And I've kind of looked at the different people who are here, and I've realized that for many, they know what it is to go through trials and to suffer. And we shouldn't take it lightly. And this morning, what I want to do is unpack what Peter says about a life of trials. And I think probably the whole COVID thing is been really interesting, isn't it? Doing 1 Peter in this time of COVID, because for many people, this has been a time of trials. It has been a time of suffering. And you see, when you read 1 Peter, there's an awful lot in the book about suffering that the church was going through. You see, the Christians were being attacked, they were being abused, they were being ostracized, they were cut off from many things. And as you look at the section that Susanna has read, there's an interesting word. It says that they were about to go through a fiery trial. It was coming. And Peter writes to reassure them and to comfort them. He talks a lot about suffering. You see, the fiery trial was probably going to be the persecution from the Romans, the Roman authorities. We know about Nero, how he had Christians burnt. And so this trial, this fiery trial, was going to be probably something that was going to come out of Rome. And he writes to the church because they are suffering and are going to suffer even more. In fact, when you look at the whole book of 1 Peter, I noticed that I kind of made notes that, you know, he uses the word suffer. This is in the NIV. He uses the word suffer 6 times. But he also talks about suffering. And that he writes about two times. And the word sufferings, plural, is four times. And then those who have suffered, he writes about that four times. So 16 times in this very short epistle, he talks about suffering. And so for us, perhaps, as we find ourselves in COVID, this is really a really helpful book. Because for some of us, we are suffering because of what's gone on with COVID, but maybe with other things in our lives. And so for me, this is an important lesson. There's important things that we have in the book of 1 Peter that we can take away from today. Because suffering comes in all kinds of ways, doesn't it? Some of us maybe are suffering physically, and maybe there are conditions that we've had. Maybe we've suffered with cancer. Maybe we're getting older, and things aren't kind of working the way they used to work. We're getting kind of aches and pains, and, you know, we don't want that, do we? Maybe for some of us, we find ourselves suffering mentally. There's feelings of anger, or maybe we feel depressed or fear. Emotions. What are the emotions that we find ourselves feeling? And we're going, no, I don't want to feel this way. Or perhaps there's the material challenge of a lack of income or a loss of work. And also spiritually, perhaps we're struggling spiritually. We're not where we want to be with God. And we find it difficult to kind of lift ourselves up and bring ourselves out of that. But I want to say there are three things that I want to pick out as we go through these verses about suffering. And the first one, if Ben could just put it up on the PowerPoint, is that actually when it comes to suffering, we should expect it. We should expect it. And we find that in verses 12 to 13. So Peter writes these words, says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." And so Peter says to these people, actually, don't be surprised when suffering comes. As Christians, do not be surprised. It was coming from people around them. It was coming from the Roman authorities. It was also coming from the devil, because in chapter 5, which we're going to have next week, he talks about how the devil is like a roaring lion wanting to devour Christians. And that's obviously a picture of the Colosseum as well. And so here we have Peter saying to them, actually, you are going to suffer. And so as Christians, we shouldn't expect to be a kind of not to suffer. It is part of our lives as people. It is part of living in this world. And it is the fact that we live in a fallen world. Because we're getting older. Perhaps, you know, we have pains within our bodies. We suffer for different reasons. I was looking for kind of trying to sum this up in a simple way. And the BBC website talks about evil. And it talks about two types of evil. There's moral evil and there's natural evil. And it talks about how moral evil is the kind of decisions that people make and the actions they take. And perhaps we've all suffered because of different things that people have done to us. And that moral evil that is within our world, because we're in a fallen world, because of people stealing things, because of lust, because of greed. We see things like human trafficking. We see things like murder. We see great inequalities in our world because of decisions that people make. And there is natural evil, but there's also moral evil, but there's also natural evil, natural disasters, things like earthquakes, tsunamis, which actually we have no control about. And we suffer because we're human beings as well. Yesterday we were doing some DIY and managed to smash my finger with a hammer just in this little bit here. And so painful. So as human beings, we feel pain, don't we? We feel pain emotionally and physically. And so we will suffer. We don't get some kind of herd immunity from suffering because we're Christians. And God doesn't take us out of this world, but leads us in this world. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. And so we have to accept that trouble and trials and suffering is part of our lives. And Peter uses the example of Jesus and said actually what Jesus suffered. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, he says, "To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." So if we follow the example of Jesus, we will suffer. And it's funny, isn't it? People say, "I want to be like Jesus." Well, if you want to be like Jesus, then you will suffer. So Peter says you must expect it. What is slightly crazy, I think, is then he says, actually, "But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." That's a slightly weird thing to say, isn't it? You know, actually, you're suffering, so let's be glad it's happening. You go, "Well, actually, I'm not glad I've got this pain or these things are happening in my life or I've lost this." But he says we should rejoice. In fact, it goes on to say, you know, in that one verse that I've just read to you, four times, he talks about rejoicing. And I think the Authorized Version says, "Be glad with exceeding joy that you're suffering." And perhaps for some of us, we go, why should we rejoice? But the reason we can rejoice is that through suffering, we can know something special of the presence of God and the power of God. And I want to go on and talk about that. So, Ben, we can have the next slide. Because Peter goes on to say, in verses 13 to 16, he talks about what happens when we suffer. And so we can actually grow through suffering. Let's just see what he says in verses 13 to 16. He says, "But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." And if you want to kind of see what he's just written about rejoicing sufferings, he said we participate in the sufferings of Christ, so we become like Christ. He says the spirit of glory rests upon us, and that we should praise God that we bear his name. We're to commit ourselves to God. We're to continue to do good. And what you see here is almost like a vibrancy of spirituality, of a Christian life that is truly alive, because there is life, there is devotion, there is desire. Here, Peter is writing to people who are suffering, but there is an energy about their suffering. There is growth and life. And it's kind of really nicely summed up in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, which is Stuart's passage for next week. But I'm not bothered. There's lots you can say. It says this: "And the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." And so what Peter is saying to these people is you are going to suffer, but actually God can make you strong. He can make you steadfast through what you're going through. So two things I want to say is, firstly, suffering connects us to Jesus, that we are participating in his suffering. And that really links up to what Peter is saying in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. He says this: "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." And so Paul is saying, actually, I want to share in the suffering of Christ. I want to become like him in death. And so he's saying, actually, I want to be like Christ. And that's what suffering does. It can make us like Christ. The second thing that we read that Peter's written here says, "The name, you've been insulted because of the name of Christ. You are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you." That is an amazing picture. It goes back to the Old Testament where the glory and the Spirit of God comes upon the temple in the book of Ezekiel. The Shekinah glory of God rested there. And what Peter is saying is Christians, when we suffer, there is a special sense of the presence of God. amazing. And of course, if we don't suffer, if we don't go through trials, we don't experience those things. And that's why he's saying you must rejoice in your sufferings, because something in you is going to happen that would never happen otherwise. Three things. Firstly, suffering brings strength. I'm sure, like many people, you've missed exercise, going to the gym, working out, going on the rowing machine, maybe the weights, or for those who go to beach down, they're missing out on their jacuzzi. But it's through that exercise that we would get stronger, we would get fitter, less fat. And so actually, the same is true of suffering, that when we go through suffering, it means that we can grow stronger in our faith. And that 1 Peter 5 verse 10 talks about how he can make us strong in our faith. Second thing is suffering can build resilience. It can make you strong, but also it can make you steadfast. And sometimes when we face suffering, we do say to God, well, why me? Why has this come into my life? Why do I have this condition? Why me, God? I remember many years ago, I thought to myself, well, we always ask the question, why? And perhaps this side of heaven, we will not know why. But I always think the question we need to ask God is, what are you doing, God? What are you doing in my life? What are you trying to make me? What are you trying to teach me? Because that question can be answered. There are things that I think that God can reveal to us to make us strong and to make us steadfast. And I am concerned at this time of COVID, as I wonder how people are doing spiritually. I think for some people, they've gone deeper in their faith. They're having time with God alone. They're praying and you know, consuming great sort of loads of teaching and podcasts, and maybe using right now media to the max. But for others, they are struggling. And maybe their faith is kind of wilting, and it's starting to shrink and to reduce. And that kind of worries me. You see, when we suffer, it can build us up, but also it can make us fall. And it's perhaps not an immediate crash, but gradually our spiritual life kind of ebbs away. And we need to kind of pray for each other that actually our spiritual lives would remain strong through this time. That we wouldn't lose people from our church because their faith has kind of evaporated. The third thing is that suffering can actually soften our hearts. And I suppose that's something I learned many years ago when I ended up in hospital. And, you know, it changed my life because all of a sudden I had an understanding of what other people went through. And I think actually when suffering comes, it gives us an empathy and a compassion perhaps we have never had before. You know what it's like when you're in during kind of COVID-19, there's no meetings in the evening, you sit and you watch the telly and stuff comes on and you think, oh, this is rubbish. But somehow you keep watching it. So we Tracy and I, we watch some stuff on Channel 5. Not a great place to go when you're sat at home, but Channel 5, there was this program about a family who are really hard up, and their holiday for the year was to, they had one holiday a year, they were really hard up, and they went for 3 days to Skegness. And they spent, you know, their holiday money, and basically they did everything on the cheap because they just could not afford anything else. And the program then links up a really well-off young person who would then spend the 3 days with them in a caravan in Skegness. It does get, sounds exciting, doesn't it? But this young person, she like spent like thousands and thousands of pounds every month on her makeup and on beauty treatments, and wanted to make herself look amazing. And it was interesting because she just kind of did not understand where these people were coming from, because she had so much and they had so little. But you could see as the program went on that she started to change, and she started to have an empathy with them, because she was in the situation with them. She had so much and they had so little. But when she started to experience what they experienced, it started to change her and soften her heart. And I want to say to you that actually suffering can soften our hearts. And I think that's a good thing, that we understand what people are going through, that we want to stand with them. Perhaps they've suffered loss, or maybe they've had an bereavement. And if you've been through that, you can empathize. Perhaps they've been made redundant, or they're having marriage problems or financial struggles. Or maybe you've gone through cancer treatment. You know, what people have said is that actually God never wastes a hurt. And if you've been through some difficult times, then I believe that actually God wants us to use those things to come alongside others and to stand with them. Lastly, let's move on. Ben, where's my slide? There we go. Suffering. Let's speak about it. Do you know, are you one of those people who suffer in silence? Or are you one of those people who want people to know when things aren't going well? I think it'd be true to say that men are not good when it comes to pain. And we want to know. We want people to know. I've got a toothache. I've got a headache. I was painting yesterday and my arm hurts. Or I hit myself with a hammer. But some people suffer in silence, don't they? And I'm not going to talk about anybody in my house. But she does. Not because of me, I don't think. Because of, other things. But you see, the truth is that actually I feel that God wants us to speak about our suffering. And not in a kind of a pity kind of way or a boastful kind of way. Because actually God wants us to speak about our sufferings. Firstly, speak to others so that we might support them, as I just said, but also others might support us. For some of us, we need to start to share what's happening in our lives. Because actually God has put us within a church. We are a church family, and surely as a church family, we should learn to help and support each other. But how will we know unless we start to talk about it? Loved what Paul Lynch did a few weeks ago and the way he shared from 2 Corinthians 1. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received ourselves." And so actually to share with each other is a way of comforting and supporting each other. To give the reassurance maybe to other people, I've come through, or maybe somebody coming alongside me and helping me. In our prayer meeting, before we kind of started the service, I kind of quoted from the Psalms where it talks about how God lifts us up and places us within a rock. And actually, I think that's something that as Christians we should be doing for each other, trying to build up each other up, trying to support each other through the sufferings we're going through, helping each other, lifting each other up so that we can come through together. And the other thing I want to say is, yes, we need to talk to other people. We also need to tell other people about the great strength that God gives us when we do suffer. As I kind of think about the church and I think about what people have been through, there are so many testimonies, aren't there, of God bringing us through times of suffering. And actually, these things are great to be able to share with people outside of the church, to share and say, actually, this is my story, that God has brought me through my difficult trials, my times of suffering. God has been with me through my times of suffering. I just want to encourage you to think about how you can share with others what God has done in your life. And we had that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Where we read in 1 Peter 3, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you about the reason for the hope you have." A part of the answer has to be, this is what God has done in my life. This is my story. This is how God has brought me through my sufferings and my difficult times. So we will suffer at some point or another. But let's use our sufferings to grow closer to God. And let's talk about it and share with others those encouraging stories of what God has done. Maybe today you feel, actually, life is really hard. You feel you are suffering. I just want to tell you two things. Firstly, that God is with you. God is with you. And God hasn't abandoned you. There's those wonderful verses from Isaiah that actually we've heard perhaps quite a few times over COVID-19 through this time. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. They're very powerful words, aren't they? But the wonderful thing is that they are true. God is with us. And the second thing I want you to know is that God does have a plan. God has a plan. At times we wonder what he is doing, but God has a plan, and we need to commit ourselves to him, to trust him. And I hope today, as we've talked about suffering, that you today will realize that the way through suffering and trials is to rely and trust in God. Let's pray together, shall we? I'm going to give you a moment just to give over to God the things that you are struggling with. Perhaps the trials you're facing at the moment. Why don't you just hand them over to God and say, God, I don't know what to do with this, and I can't cope with what's happening. But I look to you and I trust you. Lord, we live in this fallen world. And Lord, we know that in this world that we will suffer. Pain will come our way. But Father God, I want to pray that in our trials and in our pain and in our suffering, first of all, Lord, that we would know your powerful presence. We pray, Lord, that we would feel and know your strength within us, that you would enable us to be steadfast and strong and keep our eyes on you. And I pray, Father, that through these difficult times, that your purposes for us would be worked out. Lord, that you would do only what you can do. You would build us up in our strength. You'd give us stories to tell, and you'd help us to share with others. Lord, through our sufferings and our difficulties, may we come to know you in new and deeper ways. Father God, we pray this and we now ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. We're going to worship again today. I'm going to hand back to Ben. We've got a couple of songs. The first one is called Build My Life. And it's a song that just says to God, build me up, make me strong, help me come to know you. Thank you.